Radio Prague News.
The Czech president was questioned earlier this year over the privatization of Czech coal mining company Mostecká uhelná. Cardinal Dominik Duka took part in a commemorative ceremony for Romani victims of the Holocaust at the Lety Memorial in southern Bohemia. And a public tender for the renovation of the National Museum's historic main building on Wenceslas Square has been launched. The country's president, Miloš Zeman, was questioned by the Czech anti-corruption police in February over the allegedly fraudulent privatization of Czech mining company Mostecká uhelná. Czech TV reported a day before a Swiss court began dealing with the case. Six former managers at the company are accused of having illegally transferred $150 million from the firm and having bought a majority stake in the coal giant for the money. The police suspect them of having conducted the deal at a considerably lower price. The privatization of Mostecká uhelná took place under the government headed by then Prime Minister Miloš Zeman, who told the police that the price was decisive in the factor. He dismissed the idea that the state lost any money in the deal. Cardinal Dominik Duka took part in a commemorative ceremony for Romani victims of the Holocaust at the Lety Memorial in southern Bohemia on Monday. The event was attended by a number of foreign ambassadors, cultural dignitaries, and Roma representatives. Czech political leaders were notably absent this year, with the exception of the Deputy Speaker of the Senate, Miloše Horská. The Lety Memorial, unveiled in 1995 by then-President Václav Havel, he is situated close to the site of a former concentration camp for Romanis, where 300 prisoners lost their lives, and from where hundreds of others were transported to the Auschwitz death camp. The fact that a pig farm is located on the site of the former camp has evoked considerable controversy and is a source of embarrassment for the Czech government, which says it does not have the money to relocate it. Prague gas workers checked for potential gas leaks across the city over the course of Monday. Following an explosion in the capital recently, that damaged buildings near the National Theatre and injured around 40 people. Companies have doubled the amount of an olfactory indicator added to natural gas to help residents detect leaks. In related news, a gas leak was detected on Monday not far from Prague's main station. Gas leaked for several dozen minutes, officials said, after someone dismantled a gas tap at a nearby abandoned building. The leak was stopped by workers from the Pražská plynárenská gas company. The discovery of the leak, however, was not connected to the checks underway in the city, a spokesman said. Because of the leak, traffic was disrupted for a time at Prague's Magistrála throughway. A public tender for the renovation of the National Museum's historic main building on Wenceslas Square was launched on Monday. The tender was approved in April by the government and subsequently by the Finance and Culture Ministries. Proposals received will be revealed at the end of August. The main building of the National Museum will retain its historic facade, which was designed by architect Josef Schulz, but visitors in the future will be able to enjoy a modern exhibition venue following 21st century trends, representatives have made clear. One of the most prominent elements in the renovation plans is the creation of a tunnel connecting the National Museum's main building with a sister site, which used to serve as the parliamentary building in the former Czechoslovakia. And in sport, for the Boston Bruins, with Czech players David Krejci and star forward Jaromír Jágr, it will be do or die on Monday night in the final game of their best-of-seven series against the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's in their first-round series in the NHL playoffs. Krejci leads in the playoffs on goals, having scored five, including a hat-trick against Toronto. Jágr managed an assist in Game 6, but has been less of a presence. Toronto, by comparison, has seen strong performances from its goaltender James Raymer and players like Phil Kessel. I'm Jan Wellinger. That's all the news for now.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name is Masha Walensky. Coming up in our program, court hearings have begun in a case against a Czech coal company, Moose, in Switzerland. Then we will look at the latest news in the world of Czech sports. And later in one-on-one, we meet Petr Šourek, the boss of Corrupt Tour, a travel agency with a difference.
It's truly unique. Corruption is everywhere, but the corruption tourism is only, in this time, is here in Prague.
These stories are coming up, so do stay with us. A Swiss court on Monday began hearing a major Czech privatization case. Six former managers of the Czech coal company Moose face accusations of money laundering and other crimes they allegedly committed during the privatization of the firm in the 1990s. The complicated case has been running for years and is also prosecuted in the Czech Republic.
Six Czechs and one Belgian face charges of money laundering, fraud, forgery of documents and other crimes related to the privatization of the second Czech largest coal mining firm, Mostecká uhelná, or MUS. Swiss prosecutors believe that the company's former managers and their associates used MUS' own assets in their 1999 takeover of the firm. The privatization of MUS got underway in the early 1990s, when the state sold its shares to investors and municipalities in northern Bohemia, where the company's lignite mines are located. However, the government kept a 46% stake in the firm. By 1999, MUS managers had acquired a majority in the firm through a complex network of fronts, but never revealed this. Instead, they used another front, a US-based firm Appian Group, to buy the remaining shares from the government, led by then-Prime Minister Miloš Zeman. In the process, the managers and their associates allegedly diverted the company's own assets worth billions of crowns to pay for the shares. The Czech police began investigating the case in 2003, but dropped it 5 years later, citing lack of evidence. The authorities in Switzerland, however, intercepted some of the diverted funds and seized around 14 billion crowns in Swiss bank accounts. In 2011, Swiss prosecutors filed charges against seven people who now stand accused at the Swiss criminal court in Belizona. Reporter Zuzana Kubátová from the news website Aktuálně.cz has been following the case.
The decisive aspect in the case will be whether the financial transactions with the company's own funds will be recognized as legal in the Czech Republic, or whether the court will determine they constituted criminal acts. If that is the case, it will greatly facilitate the trial in Switzerland too. But if it turns out the transactions were legal, which is what the defendants are saying, it will be difficult to prove any money laundering charges.
Nešlo o nic nestandardního, tak potom zřejmě asi bude problém i dokázat nějaké praní špinavých peněz.
Acting on information from Swiss prosecutors, the Czech anti-corruption police have meanwhile reopened the case and raised charges of fraud related to the 1999 sale of the state's minority stake. In February, the police also questioned president-elect Miloš Zeman over his role in the deal. The case of Mostecká uhelná is in many ways illustrative of what has been called the wild privatization of the Czech industry in the 1990s. Zuzana Kubátová says that if the court finds that the law was breached in this particular case, it could have consequences for other privatization deals of the time.
Rozhodující je, jestli divoká privatizace.
The crucial thing here is whether or not the so-called wild privatization in the 1990s was carried out in a criminal way or not. Many other companies were privatized in similar ways to that of Moose, for example, the OKD coal firm, but the case today is not considered problematic at all.
Velice podobným způsobem a ten případ vlastně dneska nikdo nespochybňuje.
One of the accused, Luboš Měkota, died earlier this year, but his lawyer came to the court in Switzerland on Monday. However, three other defendants, including the alleged mastermind of the entire operation, Antonín Koláček, failed to turn up, and their attorneys asked the court to postpone the hearing. The trial in Switzerland is expected to last until July.
Jan Richter reporting. If you would like to comment on this story, we certainly encourage you to do so on Radio Prague's Twitter and Facebook pages. Our show now continues with the report on the biggest stories in Czech sports from the past week with Ian Willoughby.
We begin today with ice hockey, and the Czech Republic are still at the World Championship in Sweden and Finland, but only by the skin of their teeth. Except for a victory by the Swiss over Norway on Sunday, Alois Sadamczyk's misfiring team would have had all hopes of progress dashed, with one group stage game remaining. The Czechs found themselves on very thin ice after a 2-1 defeat to Canada earlier in the day, which ironically was one of their best performances to date. Defender Ladislav Šmíd summed up the team's mixed emotions shortly after that match.
It's a disappointment. It's a pity we couldn't have played like that from the start of the tournament. It was like night and day. Everybody fought. We had a lot of chances, but unfortunately things haven't gone our way from the start of the tournament. I think we were more than an even match for Canada. It's just a pity we didn't manage to pick up a point.
In order for the Czechs to advance to the playoffs at the Worlds, they need any kind of victory, including an overtime or on penalties, over Norway on Tuesday evening. There's been some good news for Czech fans ahead of what will surely be a nail-biting clash. NHL players Tomáš Plekanec and Marek Židlický have arrived in Stockholm and should provide a much-needed boost. Soccer now, and the race for the Czech league title has opened up again after leaders Viktoria Plzeň slipped up with a 1-0 home defeat to Slavia Prague on Saturday. Second-placed Sparta Prague were 5 points behind going into the weekend, but they've now cut that gap to only 2 after a 4-0 trouncing of Mladá Boleslav in the capital. That result included a first hat-trick for Sparta from David Lafata, who hadn't been looking sharp in previous games.
I'm glad I scored, but I wasn't looking at it like that. We weren't doing well collectively. Of course, we'd like to play beautiful football, but I think the most important thing is to win. Everybody goes through sticky patches, and unfortunately ours came at the worst possible time. We have to do everything to end it. Hopefully we've succeeded in that, and we managed the remaining games.
In the remaining 3 rounds, Sparta will have to do without Leonard Kweke, who's serving a 12-match ban. The Cameroonian striker received that punishment for a brutal two-footed lunge that broke the leg of Mladá Boleslav defender Radek Dosodil in 2 places during a recent game. And finally, Sunday's Prague Marathon was won by Nicholas Kemboi, who was born in Kenya but is now a citizen of Qatar. His time of 2 hours 8 minutes 51 seconds was 3 minutes short of the course record and the slowest winning time seen in 5 years. The women's race was won by Caroline Ruttich of Kenya in 2 hours 27 minutes. That's all the sport for today.
That was Ian Willoughby with the sports. Just a reminder, you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. We frequently hear how corruption is blighting the Czech Republic, and many people complain about the problem, which seems to be endemic. But one person is taking action against corruption, or at least drawing attention to it in a fun and innovative way. He is Petr Šourek, the boss of Corrupt Tour. He's also Ian Willoughby's guest in One on One.
One of the more colourful news stories out of the Czech Republic last year concerned Corrupt Tour, which started running excursions in Czech, English and German to sites linked to graft. These include the villas of dodgy businessmen, Prague City Hall and the spot where the city's Olympic Centre was projected to stand. The creator of the unique travel agency is Petr Šourek, a Prague man in his 30s. When he stopped by our studio, we discussed the Corrupt Tour concept and where they take sightseers.
The most places we take people to, we call the monuments of corruption. You should know that in this country we've got something special. The police and the public prosecutors, they are strikingly inactive in many cases. Effectively, they are protecting, or not only them, but somebody else probably is protecting older cases. So these cases can be like 10 years old, and there is a situation that there are many legends. Or people just know about things that happened there, and media has written about it extensively. Even though nothing really happened, so because Prague is still, you know, full of monuments. So we said, well, these monuments of corruptions are actually monuments and they are well protected. Just one example, the City Hall of Prague, the place where the headquarters, so-called, of this city, the municipal offices. Actually, this place was rented for money which could be easily bought. And it's the money actually go to the companies whose owners nobody knows and so on. There's many things like this. Then we take them to, I don't know, Ministry of Defense, which is famous for such cases. And we took them to the castle as well. At that time, Václav Klaus was outgoing president at the time because we put them on sale.
What do you mean by that?
The outgoing president at the time was just deeply unpopular. And if the staff in your shop is not really popular with your customers, what do? You put it on sale. You discount it. So we decided to discount the president. We just made this tour cheaper.
The corrupt tour has been running, I guess, for a year and a few months. How has it developed over that time?
It didn't develop so much. I mean, the situation actually developed very much. It was not so much us who developed. Of course, we changed some tours because we are changing our destinations. We keep it fresh. Sometimes we add something, sometimes we cancel something.
When I first heard about the corrupt tour at the beginning of last year, I thought this is going to be a media hit internationally. It's a great name, it's a great subject. I didn't think it would last for more than 2 or 3 months. Did you think it would last so long?
Well, I was surprised myself as well. I mean, everybody was surprised, but the important thing is, you know, we were not aiming so much at media as it could look like. I mean, at the very beginning, you know, we really, I mean, our target group are people who go for tours. This is our target group. Our clients are not usual, you know, clients of usual tour companies. So these are people who just, for maybe for the first time in their life, really sit in the bus and hear, listen to a guide. You know, these people are the most important for us. We do our business for them and with them, and they pay it, you know. Well, media are important part of it. And we, of course, we base our tours on media reports and so on. So it's just a part of it. But, I mean, it was not done for media.
I can understand the Czech people being interested in the corrupt tour because they know the scandals, they know the people involved in the scandals, they know the background. But tourists surely can't know about this. What's the attraction for the tourists?
The corrupt tour itself, because it's truly unique. Corruption is everywhere. But the corruption tourism is only, in this time, is here in Prague. So they come to see something special, what they can't see anywhere in the world.
I saw an old interview with you in which you spoke about the idea of the corrupt tour maybe starting a franchise and being, in a sense, exported to other countries where there is corruption, which I guess is a lot of countries. Has that happened at all?
Well, it's a quite difficult negotiations about it because, of course, the people got some idea derived from media reports on us, and they were very different and various reports. People from other parts of the world, they ask different questions, you know, so sometimes they have got a different idea about what all the thing about. But actually, then we have to explain them how we do it, what's the most important part to us, and sometimes it's difficult to swallow, I think.
Have you had much reaction from the people who you are, in a sense, fingering in your corrupt tour? I'm talking about politicians or dodgy businessmen whose villas you take people to. Have they reacted?
Basically, they are silent.
But nobody's threatened you or anything like that?
No. I really don't want to dramatize it in any way. It's dramatic enough. If you want.
Well, I'm glad to hear that nobody's threatened you. Do you think that there's any chance at all that through your corrupt tour that you can spur some change, even the smallest change in this area, corruption?
It much depends what's change for you. There are two different things, which I'm one of them is very important to me, and another one is of a let's say, minor significance. The big question for me is why people, why they are scared about, why they can't speak about something they know for sure. And that was my primary target. So if people can speak about it, it's okay. And it changed a lot actually in the last year here in this country. So we were part of this. Whether we really contributed to it much or less or more, I don't know, you know. But well, we've seen results. At least the people on our tours, they are very outspoken. So they can communicate with each other. They see other people who are interested in the topic. They see nobody tries to curb their their speech or whatever. Well, if you look at the, let's say, some prosecutions and so, it's not our job at all. Actually, to us, these are vandals, which is destroying our precious heritage. Because, you know, corruption is mankind's heritage, after all.
I'm sure you've thought about this a lot. In the longer term, what can be done? Everybody talks about corruption here. It makes everybody sick. Everyone talks about it all the time. What can be done to reduce it over time?
The biggest problem are double standards. The second problem is that people want to be good twice, as I call it. It means I'm good enough to let the point on the other people and say, well, they do something wrong and so on. On the other hand, I'm good because I don't want to rat them, you know? So they are somehow good twice.
So you're thinking people should report other people for being corrupt?
Well, if you know something for sure and you don't like it, then, I'm asking myself what you do. That's your responsibility, because you know. If I don't know, it's difficult. I'm not judging anyone. I'm just trying to understand what the people say. Well, I know this. In the general terms, I will tell you. But if it comes to the specifics, I'm silent again, and I'm very loyal to anyone.
And are you optimistic that things can improve in this regard?
Yeah, they're like 200 miles from over our borders. In Germany, the situation is like different planet. Czech Republic is exactly of the size of Bavaria. In Bavaria, the culture was very similar in respect to corruption as in Czech Republic. The culture changed significantly over the last 30 years, I would say. But there were shining examples of how corrupt politicians could be in the in the Bavarian history. If you look at Austria, where the situation is pretty bad, or was pretty bad, the delay of Czech Republic is like 1.5 years, because there are already big cases prosecuted now in Austria. So they are neighboring countries, you know, so you have to, you can compare with something comparable.
That was Petr Šourek speaking with Ian Willoughby. And this one-on-one does bring us to the end of today's program. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us with any comments or questions via our email, english@radio.cz. Or you can find Radio Prague on Facebook or Twitter. And of course, as always, all of our programs are available online on our website at radio.cz/en. From all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for joining us. I'm Masha Walensky, and I hope you do tune into our program tomorrow. Goodbye for now.